he'll be here Wednesday night, so you can see him and love him. But when she had first contacted me, I was like, hey, would you speak? And she felt bad because she knows I'm like super, uber busy. But I was like, yes, absolutely, I'm going to speak. And then I was like, Lord, why did I say yes to that? Like, I have 10 million things going on. What? And he said, because I have a word for Christian Center. And he said, and specifically, I have a word for every person who's going to be in the room on March 24th. I was like, yes, sir. So I first want you to know that it is no accident that you were here, that the reason that you were here is because of God. He wanted you here. He wants you to hear this. And it has nothing to do with me, and it has nothing to do with anything about me. It is literally all the Lord, okay? And I said, well, then, God, what do you want me to tell them? And he said, I want you to look at every single one of them, and you need to say, do not give up. Do not give up. And then he said, you just need to share with them your testimony. Because why, Lord? Because Revelations 12, which Revelations is a crazy awesome book, by the way. If you like sci-fi crazy stuff, you should read Revelation. There's lots of really awesome things in there that are true, that are going to happen or have happened. But it was things that the Lord has shown people. But Revelation 12, 10 says, the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth. The one who accuses them before our God day and night. We have an enemy. His name is Satan. He hates you. He's evil. He is relentless. We need to know that we don't, that we're not just walking around for no reason. We do have an enemy. He's against us. Then it says in verse 11, and they, us, the people on earth, have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus has already been crucified on the cross and is back sitting in his rightful throne, but his blood is still wet. It is still powerful. So we've defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. That's how we overcome. But you know what the next sentence says? Because most people just stop there. The next sentence of verse 11 says, and they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. And I want you to know that that's part of my testimony. So here's the deal for all of us. Let's go back about 3 years in your life. I'd say that's where things began to change. I believe that's the message that the Lord was showing me, was it's been about 3 years that some stuff has started to happen in our lives. But God has been there all along. He has not left you, and he will not. But here's what we need to realize. What we need to realize, and what the Lord's been showing me through the things that I'm about to tell you, is that if I care too much about this and about this and about the way that I look or my life or my kids, and I get so wrapped up in the things of this world, that's what's going to help defeat me. But if I can stay focused on Jesus, and if I can always be... keep heaven at the forefront of my thoughts, then this doesn't really matter that much. So in my life, let's go back 3 years. So we decide we're going to move. Daryl's going to take a position as a worship pastor at a church in Illinois. I'm a little skeptical because I don't like to move, and I like to be close to my family, and we'd already done it to Washington State, and I did not enjoy it. Now, I will tell you, the Lord... taught me so much. I got so close to the Lord, because you know, when you're uncomfortable and you're out of control, you can get really close to the Lord real quick, because you just are out of control and uncomfortable. But when things start to get comfortable, I'm like, hey, I can do this on my own. I got this. We're good. So we decide, Daryl's like, well, let's fly to Chicago, and then I want you to meet everybody and see if this is something that you want to do, because he'd had several opportunities. I was like, okay, let's do this. So I had told Daryl, I said, when we get to the church and when we go through the first service, I'm going to know whether we should be here or not. He's like, okay, good. So we fly in, and we have Kinsey at that time. She came with us because I think she was like 16 or 18 months old. And as soon as we land in Chicago, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is where God has called us. So we're getting off the plane and Daryl's like, are you okay? And I'm like, no, I am not okay. And as we were walking straight into the airport and I just began to weep and he was like, what is the matter? And I said, I know we're supposed to be here. I know God has called us to this region, this area, and this territory. Where are we? Like, I don't even know where this place is on a map. Where are we? So we go, and that was the other thing. Like, I had always said, guys, when I was 12 years old, I started praying for my future husband. And I had always said that he was going to be either a worship pastor or a youth minister because I wanted to be in the ministry, but I did not want to marry a pastor. I did not want to be a pastor's wife. I had watched what some of the things that my parents had to go through. And I was like, no, that ain't for me. I don't like people. So we're not doing that. I'm just being honest. You're going to get the honesty out of me. So we're at this church for about 9 months. And some really awful things happened to us. I'm going to spare you the details, especially because my children are still sitting in here. But we were done pretty wrong. And honestly, like, I just think that, well, it was God. God had to get us up there somehow, and he knew how stubborn I was. So we realized quickly that that wasn't the place for us. So Daryl gets let go. And I am like, what in the world are we going to do? And I can tell that, like, Daryl has an idea and that God's been talking to him. And I can also tell that Daryl knows better than to tell me what it is because I'm going to freak out. So I'm like, great. Lord, what are you doing and why isn't he telling me what's going on? And the Lord just began to say to me, do you trust me? Do you trust me? I'm like, God, yes, I trust you. But every time you ask me that, it scares me because it lets me know something's coming up that I'm going to have to trust you. And I trust you, but I don't know how much right now. So slowly, over a few weeks and months, I begin to realize that what Daryl believes the Lord has called him to is to start a church and to ministry. And I am just like, there is no way. Like, God, you've known since I was 12 what I was praying for and why I was praying for it. And he's like, yes, yes, I know. I also know that the enemy was trying to work on you to get you to hate to want to do this and to not want to do this so that you would be afraid of and would say no to the things that I'm calling you to. Now, if you can hear, because it's happened to you too, there are times in your life that the enemy's going to try and convince you of something, usually because of fear, to not do, and it literally is what you should be doing because God will make the way. Now, does it mean, here's my thing. I like a plan. I like a nice, beautiful plan, and I want it to say one, ABC, two, ABC, three, ABC, and we're just going to go through and we're going to tick off all the boxes. That is not how God works. Because, guys, if he just showed us a plan and gave us all these things, there would be no faith in it. And that's what this walk is all about, is about faith. So there are going to be times when he's going to call me or tell me to do certain things, and I'm going to be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Can we talk about this first? I think you're crazy. I don't think I can do this. I don't think I was called to this. It doesn't matter what you think. Do you know that the Bible says that man's wisdom is foolishness to the Lord? There are even going to be people in your life who know you and love you, and they mean well. And they're going to tell you, oh, you shouldn't do that, or oh, you should do it this way. But you have got to be so confident in God and in what he's saying to you that it doesn't matter what they say. They mean well, but they're not God. And you've got to listen to God for yourself. And for those of you who are like, but Charity, I can't hear God, that's also a lie. And I would just challenge you this week, guys, begin to talk to him and say, God, I need to know that I can hear you. You need to show me. So several years ago, because this is my life example, okay? Several years ago, this was right before we were going to move to Washington, and I'm once again freaking out because God wants to do something crazy with my life. And so I'm in the car driving on the way home from work, and I said, okay, God, well, you have to make it plain and clear because I'm not sure that I'm hearing you correctly. And I feel like you just keep saying that it's a whole new adventure, a whole new world, but you're going to take care of us. But God, I'm serious. It's going to have to be as clear as day that that is what you're saying. A whole new world, a whole new adventure. And I kid you not, I pull into the driveway, I put the car in park, I walk into the house, and all three of my big children who were little at the time are in the living room singing, a whole new world. I was like, got it. Loud and clear. He'll do it for you. You just need to ask him. You just need to tell him, God, I'm not sure I'm hearing you. Can you just really make it obvious to me? And then sometimes it can even just be a scripture that you're just thumbing through. But guys, however he needs to talk to you, he'll talk to you because he knows you and he knows your personality and he knows how to speak to you. So don't let that be your excuse that you can't hear him, because you most certainly can. So the thing that I learned through the process after Daryl got let go, and then, you know, God starts working on me. Hey, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. And I'm like, no, you got the wrong girl. This is not what we need to do. Then I decided, all right, well, you know better than me. So here's what I'll do. I'll start praying that your will be done, not mine. And let's just see what happens. But I'm telling you now, I'm scared. Because I don't like this. I don't like where you're headed. And you know how you just know when God's calling you to something and you know there's going to be a little bit of a battle, but you know he's going to win. I was already there. Now, Daryl, though, I mean, really, he was so precious and so kind. Like, he would be so patient with me, because if it was him, we'd already been somewhere meeting. And I'm like, no. Then he was like, well, what if we invite him into our house? I'm like, no, they're not coming to my house. So we go to somebody else's house, because we've got a group of, like, at this point we had like five or six couples who were just like, we just need somewhere to worship and just to get in the word and, like, just that's safe. So we go to these people's house, and, you know, I'm literally not helping Daryl. Like, he's carrying everything, because I'm just kind of like, well, we're going to see how this goes. And I begin to fall in love with these people. And just how much they love God. Because that was the other thing that I was skeptical about. Because when we were in Washington, we were with a bunch of weirdos. And they was crazy. And they had all kinds of issues. And I was like, I can't do that again. But these people, they just want God. And it amazed me. And it humbled me. And then I was like, well, Lord, if you really have a group of us together who we don't care about material things or about, like, lights and smoke and, you know, programs, but we just want you. Wow, God, you could do something big. He's like, oh, glad you're on board. Yeah, so awesome. So we start meeting in somebody else's house, then we outgrow their house, because, you know, when it gets winter in Illinois, you can't send the kids outside anymore or they'll freeze. So we had to move them over to the house that we were living in so that the kids could all go upstairs while we met in the downstairs. Then eventually we started meeting at a middle school. So through all of it, even with my attitude and not wanting to do it, God still has been moving and working and doing some amazing things. But I want you to know, it wasn't ever easy. And some of the things that I had prayed while this whole process was happening was, God, empty me of the world. Empty me of anything that you didn't plant and fill me with you. Well, when you start to pray those things and you really mean them, sometimes things that you don't want to happen are going to happen. But you still have to trust God, and you've got to trust him through the process. Now, that's where I'm talking to you guys. And in the last 3 years, all the things that you've been through, all the stuff that you've had to walk through, it's not for no reason. And it's not because it's not going to get better. It's because God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And literally what he's working out is anything that he didn't plant, that it won't be in there anymore, so that you can be full of him. James 1 says this, starting at verse 2. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. What? For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Now that's what I want. I want to be perfect and complete, needing nothing. But how do I get there? when my faith is tested, when I'm not sure what's going on, when I am completely out of control, that's the best place to be. I didn't say it was the funnest place to be, but it's the best place to be because it means he's in control. How do I know God's really in control? When you're not. Woo! I like to be in control. Yeah, me too. Welcome to my world. So after about a year of doing this church, we find out that the house that we're renting, they literally give us 2 months to get out. They're going to sell it. I'm like, okay, it's the end of October. It's about to snow a whole lot. I've got 5 children, and I have to get out of this place within like 6 weeks. I'm like, okay. So first I'm human, and I freak out, and I get mad. Always going to be honest, okay? I'm a human. This is going to happen. And I'm just looking at Daryl like, what have we done? And the thing that I kept hearing too was I knew that I was like, oh, the enemy's mad because like we're doing this church and things are going good and like people are like getting set free and we're just really going after God. So of course the enemy's mad and it just makes you want to give up. So my first honest human thought was, well, let's just go back to Texas. Like this would just be way easier. And the Lord was like, really, come on now. You know, we've been, I'm like, I know, I don't really mean it, but that just is my easy. That's my easy fix it plan. We've all got them. We've got to stop with the easy fix it plans. Parents of adult children, you've got to stop it with the easy fix it plans. It may have to get worse before it gets better, but it's going to be Jesus. So, long story short, like a couple of weeks before we have to be completely out of this house. I've already packed everything up, but we don't know where we're going. This precious couple comes to us and they said, well, we just flipped this house. And if you guys need to live there, you can live there until you find something. I'm like, that is fabulous. It is fabulously tiny. So we move into this. I don't even know how many square feet of a wonderful house that God provided for us. It has 1, 2, 3 bedrooms and 1 bathroom. And we all fit. And we fight sometimes over the bathroom. It's fabulous. It's just so great. During the winter, it was really fun because, you know, in the summer, I'll just send the boys to the backyard and they made a little spot to go. Can't do that in the winter. So then we're just all lined up in the hallway waiting. Hear me. I am so grateful for what God provided, but I was kind of upset at how small it was. I was like, God, I know you could do more than this. And I just clearly heard the Lord say, but didn't you want me to take the world out of you? Oh, yes. Yes, I did. And all my pride with it, Jesus. But come on, like if we're really honest, that's what it was. Okay. So I'm like, all right. So we move into this house, which this house we've now lived in for a year, and Charity's plan was we're going to live here 5 to 6 months, and then we'll immediately move to something bigger and something better. That has never happened. There hasn't even been the opportunity for it. And every time I try to knock down a door and fix it, the Lord's like, do you want to do this my way, or do you want to do this your way? Ugh. Well, I want to do it your way, but you're not very fast. My timing is not your timing. Now listen, I hope that I am speaking to you because I am telling you things that the Lord wants you to hear. His timing is not your timing, but I can say that to you because I'm living it. Do I enjoy it? No, no. Mm-mm. But am I grateful? Yes, because what he's doing in me is lasting so that whatever is for the future, what I know is that I'm going to stay grounded and anchored to him because of what I'm going through. But here's the thing. I have to check my attitude and how I feel about things almost hourly to make sure that I just want it to be all for him. I don't want to be the Christian that, I'm about to meddle, but here we go. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want to be the Christian who's got all the nice stuff and all the great things because God has blessed me. Because then that's what people are going to follow and that's what they're going to want and that's what they're going to go after. And I want to tell you something else. I get a little attitude and a little pride with it, and the Lord just knows I don't need it. And here's what's even crazy. So we're driving down here in this really nice black Chevy Suburban that I rented. because our car has too many miles on it and it wouldn't make it down here. I was like, Lord knows, we're just gonna have to rent something so I don't have to worry about it. Okay, so we do. So I rent this big 8-passenger nice SUV and I am loving it. And we get from Illinois into Oklahoma, and y'all, it's like 73 degrees. To us now, that is like the heat of summer, okay? So it is hot, H-A-W-T, it is hot. And I'm like, this air conditioner doesn't work. And I keep cranking it down. I'm like pushing the AC. I'm like, guys, the AC light is on, right? And they're like, yes, and it's like blowing warm air. And my back is starting to get all sweaty. And I'm like, this stinking air conditioner does not work. And I really like this car. And I'm being really honest. And I was like, man, and it's got Illinois tags. And we could just pull up and everybody would think that it was mine. Woo! We'd be styling. Just the true thoughts of charity. The air conditioner's not working. I thought, you know what? I just really like this car, so we're just going to suck it up and make it to Texas. We get into Oklahoma City, into traffic, and I'm like angry dying because it's so hot. And I'm like, oh, I can't do this. So I call the car company, and I'm like, what do we do? The air conditioner's not working. We are dying. And it's like black leather seats, and the sun's beaming on us. And he's like, oh, ma'am. He's like, just pull into the nearest Enterprise, and they'll hook you up. Now, right before this had happened, I had been praying for you, and the Lord had been showing me stuff, and I had started singing Refiner's Fire. Refiner's Fire, my heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. Then the air conditioner breaks. And I was like, and the Lord's like, you're going to tell him your testimony. And I'm like, you're about to put me through a testimony, aren't you? So we pull into this place. And so then the thing that the Lord kept telling me was love never fails. Love never fails. And I'm like, all right, God, okay. So I walk in and I'm very kind. I'm like, I need help. Our air conditioner's broken. He's like, I'm sorry, ma'am. I can't help you. I don't have any vehicles that big. Okay, well, can you tell me where to go that does? No, not really. Great. All right. Well, where's the next closest Enterprise? At the airport. Okay, perfect. So we drive over to the airport. Mind you, it's still hot and we're all hungry. We have now missed lunch. It's about 1:30 in the afternoon and we're hungry. We're hangry. So I'm trying to be kind. I'm trying to be nice. I'm also trying not to cry because I'm just like, why did this even happen? This is like a brand. And that was the thing when I called the guy, he's like, man, this is a brand new car. I'm like, yeah, I know. And the air's not working. And here's the thing. I could have been really mad about it, but I knew that God was doing something. And who knows that there could have been a wreck or something on the road 30 minutes later that he was actually saving me from. So instead of griping and complaining and whining about how terrible my life is, instead, in everything, I've got to trust him. I've got to trust that he has a plan, even when I don't like it. Because do I like to be hot and hungry, and we could have got here at 5 o'clock and we didn't roll in until 7 o'clock? No. He was messing up my plans. But sometimes my plans need to be messed up for his glory. And that's the thing for you, is that sometimes your plans need to be messed up, and then you need to tell some people about it. Because it'll help set them free. They're like, oh, your life isn't perfect. No, far from it. This is why I need God. This is why this America needs God. So long story short, we go to the second place. They still don't have what I need, but the girl can tell that I'm about to cry. So she's like, well, ma'am, we can put you in a minivan and then just go to Texas. And then when you pick your husband up from the airport, take it there. And I bet the Dallas-Fort Worth airport will be able to hook you up with a larger car. Well, then there's where my other pride thing was. I'm like, I don't want to roll up to Texas in a minivan. I got to drive that thing every day. She's like, you know, but this is all they have. So I'm like, stink. But when I got back in the car, you know, I clearly heard the Lord say, yeah, but here's the thing. I'm saving you from opening the door back up to the enemy of just your pride. Thank you for saving me. That's how I felt at first, but then later I really meant it. God, thank you for saving me and help me not be so human. But here's the other thing, guys. You have a flesh man and you have a spirit man. Do you know that? I used to love it when I was little and my dad would do these different sermons. I almost called you and asked you to pull one up. But he would talk about your flesh man and your spirit man and that it's your spirit man that you want to grow. And we need to go back to some of those more elementary things and think about that stuff, because how often am I actually just feeding my flesh and making me feel better about what's happening because I think I deserve a treat because I've been through so much for the Lord? Give me a break. Especially in America, do you know that there are people in other countries who like are for real tortured and for real like persecuted? We think we're persecuted. You ain't seen nothing yet. But if I'm so close to the Lord that I can have these conversations with him and just continue to tell him, your will, not mine, your will, not mine, I'm going to trust you anyway. Work it out the way you want to work it out. He is going to work it out fabulously. May not be the way that I thought it should have happened or the way that I want him to do it or how quickly, but it's wonderful and it's good. And even being in this tiny house, at first I thought we were going to drive each other crazy. But what's funny is now I don't know what we'll do if we do get a bigger house. I think we're all going to end up in the same room because we just love to be together. And it's funny. It's like where one goes, we just all kind of congregate. Now, I'm the honest mom. There are days when I'm like, all right, I'm going in the bathroom and I'm locking the door because I cannot, no, go away for just a few minutes. But I'm grateful that we have learned to love each other in it and learned to get along. Right, guys?
Sure.
All right, back at James 1, verse 5 says this. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Now, I've heard that one a lot. We can't waver or we're going to be blown and tossed by the wind. But do you want to know what verse 8 says? Because now it's like God's showing me he's going to help us walk through this. What does that mean? Verse 8 says their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Guys, I don't want to be unstable in everything I do, but I got to tell you, my fight's always between God and the world. My flesh and my spirit, man. There are just days when it would just be easier to be ugly and rude to everybody that I see and put on my this face because I know how to do it so that you stay 10 miles away from me because you know if you ask me one thing, I'm going to go off on you. That's how I'd rather be. But God wants me to love and he wants me to be humble. Ugh. There are days when I do not want to do that. I don't want to serve anybody but myself. That's not godly. And in my heart of hearts, that's not my honest cry, but there are days when I have had enough and I just am like, God, I can't anymore. And that's when he's like, oh, good, because I can. Now, are you going to relax in me? Are you going to rest on me and let me do this? Or are you going to continue to try and do this in your own strength? I give up. It's all he wants. He's a gentleman. He's not going to throw himself on you and make you do things just like he didn't come to me and say, Charity, you are going to be a pastor's wife. This is how you're going to do it. Here's how it's going to go, and it's going to be wonderful. That's not who he is. He slowly brought me along. And you know what he showed me, and you know what he's going to show you? You've been doing it all along. Your whole life you were a minister. And I started to look back and he started to show me different people. And he was like, you've ministered to this person. You've ministered to this person. You were a pastor's wife your whole life. You just didn't know it. I'm like, okay, that's good. Let's keep that up. Just don't call me it. But what God has called you to, and I want you to know, it is to ministry. Every single one of you. Because God needs ministers in every single facet of life, because every single human on this planet needs him. But guys, they can't hear his heart and they can't get to him if I'm in the way. If my nasty attitude and the way that I think things should go gets in the way, then they don't see him. And you know what? Love never fails. Never. Now, I'm going to go here, but the world keeps speaking tolerance. Come on, y'all. if you got up in front of your bride, your groom, your spouse, and the pastor, and you said, yeah, I'm going to tolerate you till death do us part. Oh, great. That sounds like a marriage I want to be a part of. No. Tolerance is ridiculous. We need to love, and we don't need to be afraid to say it. Because people are hungry for it, and they don't even realize it. Do you know, so I've been working at a middle school for 2 years, and another thing that I never thought I would do, that one day the Lord was just like, you need to try out for this position. And I'm like, no, I'm a stay-at-home mom. Don't you know this about me? And, you know, because that's how I talk to the Lord. Like, this is how we roll. And it's okay for you to be honest with the Lord. Just be okay with how he answers you, too, and be willing to have a conversation. So I take this job, and I realize very quickly that I am in darkness and that I am, like, the only light in the room. So I'm like, Lord, this is not going to be easy because I know that you're telling me to love these people. Well, do you know that the only way you can love unlovable people is when you have been loved on? When your love tank is nice and full, then you can love on others and you can actually be Jesus to them. But if you haven't stopped and taken the time or even just said to him, God, I give you permission to love me, then you're not going to have anything to give and you're going to be just as bad as they are and it's going to be this. So I go into this building and mind you, this I've had this time as this new pastor's wife and just the sweetness of what God's doing and growing me up and trusting him no matter what happens and living wherever he tells me to live and giving up things that I didn't think I would ever give up or have to and being grateful for it because God was doing so much in me. So I just walk into this building and literally my heart's cry was just, Lord, let me just be so humble that I'll just be a servant to all of them, that all they can see is you. Until that day that this one lady walks into the lunchroom and thinks she is better than everybody else. And then that thing in me wants to rise up and be like, whoa, back up. Do you know who I am? And literally, I'm like having this conversation in my mind with the Lord as they're all talking, you know, having lunch. And she is so loud and wants everybody to know. And I'm like, Jesus, it's going to have to be you because I'm about to stand up and tell this woman to be quiet. And she's being rude. She's talking about other people, just spiteful. It's awful. And the Lord said, how is she going to see me if she sees you? Oh, and so then I was like, okay, Jesus, it's got to be you then because Charity Evans wants to go off. And rightfully so. And the thing is, I mean, he's given me wisdom. I could have put her in her place in the most kindest of ways. That's not what God wanted. That's not what he called me to. So I'm just praying, and I'm like, well, then, Lord, you've got to show me. And the Lord began to show me, and he was like, Charity, she is so insecure that she feels like she has to speak in this room because she hates herself. And then I was like, oh, well, dear Lord, I'm so sorry. And he was like, yeah, and if you had done what you thought would be so grand, all you'd be doing is reaffirming to her what she already believes. Lord, I'd have been used for the enemy. Yeah, that's what your flesh does. That's why we've got to die to it. And hear me, it's hourly, it's secondly for me sometimes, especially when I'm driving in my car. Man, when I'm driving in my car, that is like my gauge, my temperature gauge for how much of the Lord is in me. Woo, sometimes there is not much there. I'm like, who do you think you are? Pull it out in front of me and then slam it on your brakes. What's the matter with you? Jesus, help us. And then that's when I'm like, oh, Lord, please help me, God. Help me not care about these things because that just means that I care about me. I should have been first. Me, 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 me. I. So after lunch is over, I go to this teacher's classroom and I was like, you know what? I just want you to know that the Lord has told me that I'm just to start praying for you. She is looking at me like I'm an alien. I'm like, great. She's receptive too, God. Thanks. And I was like, no, seriously, like, I just want you to know, if you ever need anything, if you need me to make copies, if you need me to cut something out, if you need me to, whatever you need, you just let me know and I'll be there. She's like, okay. And that even made me mad. I'm like, really, God? Like, she could have at least just been a little receptive, but I got nothing. I got, you're a weirdo, get out of my room. So I'm like, whatever. So I continue to pray. And I really do pray. Now, guys, that's another key in all of this. We've got to be praying. Even if you don't know what to pray, you can just say, Jesus, help me, and he's going to help you. So I just continue to pray for these people. Now, the other thing that that will do for you, for those of you who work in different places, when you are praying for the people around you, it really will give you a heart for them so that you're not so me against you. It's more like, hey, we can be in this together because the Lord may show you things or he'll just soften your heart. You know what else he can do? Because he's done it in the Word of Kings. He'll soften their heart. He can do that. I would challenge you to challenge him to do it and watch and be amazed at what he will do for you. So a few weeks go by, and this woman is just, she just does not like me. But the thing that I know from prayer is that it's a spiritual thing. It's a darkness thing. It's the darkness in her does not like the light in me. And my fight is not against flesh and blood. So I'm not going to go let this woman have it. I'm going to continue to pray because that's how I'm going to win the battle in the dark. Okay? The Lord's going to go before me. He's going to do things that I can't do. So one day she comes up to me and she says, you know, there is something that you could do for me. And I was like, yeah, sure. You tell me, whatever. And she begins to tell me about her personal life. And she's like, this is exactly what I need you praying for. And instead of, like, at first, I'm, like, in shock. My jaw is to the floor. And I'm like, Lord, please help me keep my face that, like, this is no big deal. And she just begins to share with me what's going on in her life. Terrible stuff. Now, all the people in the lunchroom, they think her life is great. And she tells them it's great. And she's got her good Facebook and Instagram and all her social media that just makes it look wonderful, just like everybody else. And I can't stand it. It's blah. It's fake. It's fake book. Blah. But when she realized there was somebody who really cared about her and she knew I was a safe place, she came. She said it. I started praying. Guess who got the glory? Not me, God. Especially because nobody knows that it's happening. Because, dear Lord, if I had told anybody, she would be so upset. Because to everybody else, everything is hunky-dory. Well, now, guys, I've got about six of them coming to me every day, telling me all kinds of different things. Now, it is wonderful. It's like I've become the school pastor. But I get exhausted. So when I get home, not only have I been dealing with children every day and children with special needs, but I've been listening to all these adults all day long. So it has to be God who gives me the strength to do what I do, because then I get home and I have a family to feed and to do laundry for and one bathroom to share. It's so much fun. There are some days when I'm just like, Lord, is just this whole day going to be a test? But you know what else? I don't get paid very much at my job. But when I work there, I'm always telling God, God, I don't do this for the paycheck. I do it for you. Lord, I am literally here for you. Guys, as you begin to change your thought process of that, one day I'm standing at work and one of the teachers just goes off on me, just spewing venom about parents and kids and all this stuff. And I'm just like, Lord, I just can't do this. And he said to me, he was like, Charity, I can pay you more than the school district can pay you. I was like, okay. Guys, 2 weeks later, we got a very unexpected check, and so we were able to take the kids on vacation for Christmas. And God got the glory the whole way, and here's what is so awesome. Just like with you guys, I'm an open book. I'm an open book at school, too. So I talk about the Lord a lot. Some people, it makes pretty angry, but they just kind of stay away from me. But some people, they want to hear it. And they're hungry, and they want to know what happens. So we have this science teacher who, you know, she's a science teacher. She teaches a lot and some of the things that we don't believe. And she knows it. So when I'm in her classroom, she's so hilarious. But, like, I have watched her start to talk about evolution and these different things that we don't believe. And she'll just kind of graze over it and not really get into anything too in-depth and then just keep moving. I'm like, right, I like that. But she's very just the world. She doesn't want anything to do with God. She thinks she's good as she is. It's great. But she loves me. But it's because I've gone into her room and been kind no matter what. Guys, even if we don't have the same beliefs, love never fails. Like, that is a promise from the Word. So we can stand on it 100%. If you've got an issue and a problem in your life, you need to apply love to it, because love never fails. So she has heard my stories. She's heard what's going on in my life. And she knew. I had told all of them. I was like, guys, I know none of us get paid enough, but I just want you to know that the Lord has continued to promise me that it doesn't matter if the school cannot pay me what I am worth. He's going to take care of me, and you're not going to believe what happened. So I go into the break room, and they're all excited, and they're like, what? Tell us. And I'm like, we got this unexpected check, and now we're going to be able to take the kids on vacation for Christmas. That's going to be our Christmas present, because I'm tired of just buying them junk and then throwing it away 3 months later. It makes no sense. Like, let's get out of this house and have something to do together. Yes, it's going to be wonderful. Well, then later, I hear same science teacher who wants nothing to do with God. She has no idea that I'm in the break room already. I'm turned around, and somebody comes in and says, well, I heard that the Evanses are going on vacation next week for a full week. How'd that happen? And she says, oh, God blessed them with a trip. I'm like having like a little dance. I'm just in shock. And I'm looking around for anybody, and nobody's in there. And so I just turn back around so she doesn't see me. And I'm like, God, she just gave you glory. And you know what he told me? You have no idea she's been talking to me at home. I was like, Lord, this is fantastic. And you know what else he showed me? He said she was actually raised to know me. Life happened. How often do you know that life happens to those we love? The enemy gets in there. He plants a little lie. We take the bait. We believe it. And before you know it, a whole little kingdom of darkness happens. All it takes is a word. God can send anybody anywhere to pull us out of the darkness. For you, for your family, for somebody you love. Guys, worry is not going to get you anywhere. Trusting God and just continue to love. But you know what the Word says? Love always goes with truth. Truth always goes with love. They walk hand in hand. So while I'm loving, it's not that I'm not telling them the truth of who Jesus is and just being me. You just be authentically you and be honest when things aren't okay, but I'm still going to trust God, and when things are great and then God gets the glory. When you love somebody and you walk in the truth, they can't deny it. And that's the testimony. When you walk in love and truth with those around you, even when it's hard truth, they can't deny that you love them. So then it confuses them. I have watched so many people just be confused because they're like, wait, what? I know that you love me, but you just told me this kind of hard truth about, like, that I need to be patient and I need to love other people, but I don't want to. But when they're confident that you love them, whether you see it or not, people are going to go home, and whatever seeds the Lord has planted, maybe you were planting a seed for the Lord. Maybe it was watering a seed. Maybe they're going to go home and this is going to start to grow in them, that they know that they're going to love and trust Jesus. And you are too. But here's the deal. We've got to be the front runners. We've got to be the ones who are willing to, in the face of everything else and being offensive and all that stuff, because there were so many nights when I'd be like, Lord, you're making me look crazy. They're all just going to think that I'm nuts. But once again, that's when I have to say, this isn't about me, and I don't care about my pride, God. Ugh, get all of that out of me. I just want you. Because when I finally said, I don't care if they think I'm crazy, they all started turning to him and telling me they're junk and they're sad and they're I don't know what to do with this. And you know what's really awesome too is then I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go home and pray about it. And I didn't have to do anything there for them. And then, once again, who gets all the glory? God. Because then they come back and they're like, you're not going to believe this. I'm like, oh, yes, I am. He's amazing. And he's real, and you just saw it for yourself. Now you have a testimony. God is so good and he's so trustworthy. I want to read James 1 again, just all the verses that I've already read. Because do you know that if you'll read your word, find a scripture to hang on to, it is literally life to your bones. Literally. Like, I wish, like, hello, I'm 37. I've been a Christian basically my whole life, but seriously, I feel like I'm about 4 or 5 years old in the Lord. And I'm not saying that. The reason I'm telling you that is because I think some people think that they're real old in God. Behind closed doors, they're just really not. Like, if we were really honest, maybe I'm to teenagehood because I argue and I roll my eyes a lot. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy, and God can help you find the joy in it. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance is fully developed. You will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. And those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. That's where my focus of heaven comes back into play. That just because I don't live in the house that I want to live in, and just because I don't have the things that I want to have, that what does it really matter? Literally, this life on earth is like, bloop, and it's done. Compared to forever and ever and ever in the most beautiful place you could imagine. And I think maybe that's part of our problem, is that what we need to do is start thinking about heaven and like, God, what would it be like? Well, what do you want it to be like? Okay, this and that. Okay, it'll be this and that. Because it's literally more than we can imagine, better than anything we could dream of. And like, you can have your own dream and your own vision, okay? That's okay with the Lord because he made you to be you. But mine is that, like, we are just so loved when we get up there because we're just so close to him and there's no more of this yuck and this darkness and this evil that, like, literally I'm always going to be okay because I'm loved. Won't that be nice? No more insecurities, no more negativity, no nothing. Like, just pure joy and pure love and, like, forever. Okay, so when I have that, then I'm like, yes, that's where I'm going. That's what I get. Then this, whatever. We can have one bathroom and wait in a line. So what? Because when I get to heaven, I don't want to have regrets. I don't want to be like, stink. I sat around griping about that house for so long. I missed this person and this person and this opportunity and this opportunity, and my attitude stunk and I was all about myself and stink, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'd rather be crazy here for the blip on the screen and get up there and be like, woohoo! Because here's the other thing. I don't want people from work meeting me on the way angry at me because I didn't tell them the truth and they're headed somewhere else. Whoo, then I'd feel real bad. Why didn't you tell me? You knew all this and you had the opportunity to tell me and now here I go. I don't want that to be me. So that's why if I can keep my focus on Jesus and on heaven, that it's real and that it's forever, it's going to help me in the hard times in this yuck, dot on a screen of earth. Philippians 4 says this, verse 4, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Verse 6 says this, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. Then, when you've thanked him for what he's done, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. That's what I need in this crazy world, is his peace. How do I get it? Be thankful. Thank you, God. Even though I'm uncomfortable or whatever's happening, thank you, Lord. Thank you that your peace is going to walk with me. Because let me tell you, the enemy tries hard, especially while I'm at work, to steal my peace. Because there is so much negativity and so much darkness and so much flesh. But when I just stay focused on Jesus and on heaven and I'm like, God, we can do this. And when I get discouraged, Lord, thank you. Thank you that I have this job. Thank you that I have healthy children. Thank him for whatever you can thank him for. Even if it's just, God, I thank you right now that I'm breathing. When you thank him, the peace will come. It's a promise. Verse 10 says, how I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't. Okay, let me start over. So this is Paul or Peter or somebody writing to a group of people that he had been with them and they blessed him and took care of him and then he left and now he's writing to them again. So this is, he's telling them, how I praise the Lord that you were concerned about me again. I know you've always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned, this is my life, I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. Little or big, I'm learning to be content. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or an empty, with plenty or little. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How often have I heard that verse and I didn't know what it was preceded by? The reason that I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me is because it doesn't matter what situation God puts me in. Guys, listen, it doesn't matter what situation God's got you in right now. Thank him and praise him, and he's going to show you the reason. He's also going to show you how to help other people in the midst of it, and you're going to walk out on the other side of this deal victorious. Amen? Do not give up. You may have to say that self to you at night. You may have to say your first name, Charity Evans, do not give up. Nothing wrong with that. That is the word from the Lord. I've also got for you 1 Corinthians 13, which I've already talked about it, but let's read it. Married couples, let's read it. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. Yikes. Love is the opposite of my flesh. Got it. Love is not irritable. Love keeps no record of wrong. I want to encourage you that if you're married, that you take a heart check today and ask the Lord that if you've kept a record of wrong against your spouse, that he would help you to forgive them once and for all and erase the keeping a record of wrong board. And I want you to know it can only be done with God. I know some of you have been really hurt by your spouses. Some of you at times have been enemies of one another. But if you will tell the Lord, help me erase the board that I have kept of every single time he or she did that, he'll help you. And he'll make it easy. It's not impossible. But love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Let's be rejoicing about that. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. And God is love. So the good news is, when I don't know how to do this, when I'm having a rough day and I'm not doing so good with the irritability part, that's when I just, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I give you permission to love on me. You love on me, and then my tank will be full, and I'll be able to do this again. But I need your help. I can't do it alone. We weren't meant to do it alone, because then we'd get all boastful and proud that we did something. This is where the Lord always keeps me. It's like 1 foot forward, 1 foot back, resting and relaxing in him, but doing what he's asked me to do so that I'm not like, hey, I'm so wonderful, I'm so great, because I'm not. I can only do what I do. I've only become who I've become because of him. He's amazing. Worship will always help anchor you. If you're having a rough day and you're not sure what to do, turn on some good worship music or just begin to sing to yourself. Listen, I walk through that school all day long singing. The kids have even told me, oh, my friends told me you have a really good voice. I'm like, oh, they can hear me? I mean, like, I could get in some serious trouble for some of the songs I sing because they're about Jesus and I'm singing them out loud. I don't care. I'm not doing this job for them. I'm doing this job for him. And whatever I've got to do to get through the day is what I'm going to do. Not to mention, it's not going to hurt anything, whether they hear it or not, for some worship to be in your building, that's the thing that's going through the airwaves, because worship will calm a building down. Because when you say Jesus' name, the darkness has to go. They can't even stand it. It can't be there. Hebrews 6:13. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. Never give up. We have hope that lies before us. Verse 19, this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. And verse 20 says, Jesus has already gone in there for us. He has become our eternal high priest. Whatever you need is going to be found in him. And along the way, he's going to bless your socks off. But we've got to get it out of our minds that it has to be the way that we want it done or the way that we think it needs to happen. Because if we will just yield to him, even when you think he's telling you to do something crazy, guys, I'm living proof that when you say yes and you go ahead and do whatever's crazy, when everybody else is saying you shouldn't do it, this isn't a good idea, but you know God's told you to do it, you can't outgive God. And the peace and the love and the joy that comes with it. And guys, I've said it a million times, but when God is doing something, he's doing like a million things. Like, has there ever been a time in your life when you're like, oh, that was really cool, God did that, and then he did this, 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 and this with it? Y'all, there was 1,000 things you couldn't see that he also did. Because he's like so unbelievable, we can't even wrap our minds around it. Again, even you being in this room today, that is on purpose, designed by the Lord. So here's what I'd like you to do. Would you stand with me? I want to encourage you this morning to completely abandon everything and turn to God. Let him have all of it. All of you, all of your worries, all of your concerns, all of the hard stuff that's been happening. Because over the last 3 years, he has been moving and doing things, whether you could see it or not. Even when you thought, now this is the truth. There were times when I thought, oh, this is the enemy. Get behind me, Satan. And the Lord was like, oh, wait a minute. I'm doing this. I'm like, wait, what? You're doing this? There are going to be things that feel uncomfortable, that you don't like that they're happening, but you've got to trust that God is doing thousands of things for you and everyone around you. Do not give up. Let him be the anchor of your soul so that if the waves get bad, when it's stormy, sometimes he'll calm the storm, sometimes he'll just calm you. But can we be okay with either one? And can we be so focused that this means nothing, but he is everything? And that's all that matters. It's just my perspective. God, help us keep our perspective on you. Guys, I want to encourage you that if there's been anything in this message at any point that the Holy Spirit highlighted for you, that you want to say yes to him, I want you to come to the front. The reason that we do this isn't so that you're a spectacle walking down to the front. It's because my pride has to die. I've got to walk down to the front and say, God, I choose you over people caring why I'm down here. Because you know what? Nobody cares. They're all thinking their own same stuff. God, let our focus stay on you. Lord, help my heart be anchored to you so that whatever comes my way, whatever decisions need to be made, God, that you will be the first one that I run to, that it's your wisdom that I'm going to ask for, because you're not going to rebuke me for coming to you and asking for wisdom. God, that I would lay everything else down at your feet. And if you don't want me worried about it, God, then I'm going to leave it with you and let you worry about it. and just let me be stay focused on you and your love. Lord, I ask right now that for everyone in this room, you would just saturate them with your love. That God, those who need to physically feel you would physically feel you right now. Lord, I thank you for speaking to each one of us individually this morning in only the way that you can. And God, we thank you that even though times may be tough, even though we may be going through something we've never gone through before and feel completely out of control, Lord, we thank you for it because it means you are in control. Have complete control today, God. Let us not trust what we see with our eyes, God. Let us trust in faith. Lord, even when we can't see it, that you have good things in store for those who love you. Lord, as we go through this week, gently remind us, God. Remind us that love never fails. And that we would just stay under the waterfall of your love that you have so freely given to us. Jesus, let us remember that it's your blood and our testimony that's going to overcome. God, help us to open our mouths and be willing to tell people around us, whether we look crazy or not, that it's you who gets the glory for who we are and what's happening in our lives. And Jesus, I thank you that right now in Haltom City, Texas, and the surrounding areas, that those who call on your name in a real and sincere way are going to rise up in Jesus' name, and that we are going to go forth and win this community for you, God. Lord, let revival start here. And Lord, I thank you that over every prayer request and circumstance where we need you to intervene, that God, you're already on the scene. That Lord, though we can't see it, that you've already made a way. God, for those children that we've been praying for that believed a lie and have walked away from you, Lord. God, I thank you that even now you're already speaking. Lord, let these kids not be able to deny what they know. Thank you that it's your kindness that leads us to repentance. Love never fails. God, I thank you that we have this solid rock that we can stand on, that you don't change, that you're not shaky, that you're not moody, that we can always trust that you just love us and that that is all that we need. Lord, I thank you over every person standing down here and over every need, that God, you are going to breathe on us. Your breath of life, breath of love, of joy, and of peace. And that God, it's something that cannot be stolen away from us or taken away. That God, what you've done today is solid and lasting and forever. Lord, we love you. God, we thank you. Have your way in us this week in Jesus' name.